Welcome to Bigger Than Business, where you'll discover real-world stories of business owners living their purpose. This is the podcast for anyone who wants their success to be about more than just money. In these interviews, you'll encounter men and women all over the world who draw strength and resilience from understanding why they do what they do and how they remain true to that purpose through the ups and downs that every business owner will eventually face. In each episode, you'll see your convictions can propel your actions in the marketplace. We'll explore why success is grander, broader, and far more fulfilling when it is driven by a vision beyond oneself. Get ready to explore how your life can be bigger than business.
How do you go from a community activist to an industry powerhouse while raising a family and lifting others into entrepreneurship? Hello, I'm your host, Jeff Holler, founder and CEO of the Capital Chartroom. John C. Lopez turned his role in a Latino community economic development program into an opportunity to become an established McDonald's franchisee before changing tracks in his 50s to become a premier supplier to the nation's largest quick service restaurant system. Listen as John tells us how he was able to leverage not only funds with little to no capital, but also the connections and knowledge he gained from experiences along the way. Our Bigger Than Business interview this morning is with John C. Lopez. John had various career experiences, including being an activist in a positive way for the Latino community prior to entering the business world at what some might consider the late age of age 40. But John's prior experiences enabled him to have a great deal of success. He entered the business world as an operator in the McDonald's system, successfully building and operating McDonald's locations in the Los Angeles area. He was then provided an opportunity because of that success to buy a meat processing plant that supplied McDonald's in Oklahoma City. And John decided to take advantage of that opportunity and bought and created Lopez Foods, Inc. in Oklahoma City, which became a very successful and still is a very successful supplier in the McDonald's system. When John retired as CEO, in his spare time, he got into the hotel industry and started the Sueños Hotel Group and has been a successful operator of hotels as well. John, thank you for being with us today.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. And I think everybody would be interested to know, how you became a McDonald's operator at age 40 and what life and work experiences prepared you to be a successful operator and what led you to that point.
Let me begin with, first of all, you asked what life and work experiences prepared me for the direction we were headed. I was a college dropout, injuries in football, young marriage, expecting a child. And I knew that I would not be able to get a college degree to get ahead. I wanted to work in many areas. One of them was banking. Banking was good to me. It taught me a lot of things about financials, money. But most of all, it got me exposed to many people that were entrepreneurs. My parents were poor. They were able to successfully work and own, eventually, a grocery store that required a lot of work, a lot of long hours, of which I was a part of, did not like those long hours. But you can imagine as a young man, you would not. But their passion for their business, their customer knowledge, the way they operated, what impressed me most about my parents was not what they told me, it's what they did. And they did a lot for the community. And while I was a banker, I got approached by a young new Latino city councilman in Phoenix. His name was Armando De Leon, and he invited me to lunch, and we started talking about a new organization that was being formed in the Phoenix area, but it was going to be supporting five states that were heavily populated with Latino community. And those communities were California, Arizona, New Mexico, Texas, and Colorado. And I was offered a position with the Southwest Council of La Raza to bring my experiences, to bring my knowledge, and try to head up an economic development program to allow Latinos to get ahead and work. We were very successful, and over my tenure of 10 years, they were very successful. We put together a minority enterprise small business investment company that I became the founding father of it. I became the president of that organization. And it was through that I got exposed to the McDonald's family. And I went home, tell my wife, I says, Pat, I have found something that I want to get into. Applehood, motherhood, apple pie, and cash flow. And those were the things that I liked, and those were the things that inspired me. And McDonald's actually tried to hire me to go work for them in their corporate structure. But I decided, no, I want to be a franchisee. And I knew what it took to become a franchisee because I financed two of them at that point. And I knew what I had to do. I knew what I had to save. And I knew that we wanted to get into that system. And eventually we did. We applied. And the rest is history with McDonald's. We were very happy for the Golden Arches. And we're here today because of them.
Well, John, when we look at you today and all the success you've had, you almost make it look easy. But tell me a little bit about what those real early years were like as a McDonald's operator for you and the family getting started.
First of all, we were offered a franchise in Los Angeles, downtown, 3rd and Broadway. It was in the heart of the Latino community on Broadway, and we were very pleased to accept it. I was 38 years old then, married with 5 children, and we moved to Los Angeles in order to get our franchise started. Many issues came up with the location that we had. And I won't bore you with all the details, but it took 2 years to put together the restaurant. They had to change all their planning because of failed soil tests on the property. And I became an employee at McDonald's trying to survive and help fund my family. I actually formed myself and another friend formed a new business in the meantime, and we got funded by the Office of Minority Business Enterprise to bring additional Latinos into the McDonald's systems, and we were very successful. And that consulting job really was instrumental in helping us keep our head above water until we were able to open our restaurant. I will tell you that because of all the delays and issues and cash being needed just for my family, when we opened our business, Pat and I were in the red $250,000.
And back then, that was a lot of money.
It's still a lot of money.
Still a lot of money. Yeah, it still is.
But my biggest challenge in all that was really, how are you going to handle this? How are you going to do this? You're hoping that the business starts off well. I didn't have the capital needed like most businesses have to have. I was able to rob Peter to pay Paul. I was able to get very creative. And I'm very happy to say that in about 8 months, the cash flow started coming in. And it took a whole year for us to get into the black. And then things started moving ahead.
Outstanding. And in the early days, you and Pat worked side by side in the initial restaurant, didn't you?
Yes, we did. We made a decision that Pat, we were needed. She was needed at home for the kids. We have 5 children from kindergarten all the way through a senior in high school. And family, very important to us. So we made a decision that she would keep the books. Our dining room became our office. And many nights late at night, Pat would do the payroll after everybody went to bed. And so she handled that end of it. She handled the kids. She handled the household. And I just spent a lot of time at the restaurants. And that's what made it successful.
You, John, and you and Pat were like a lot of entrepreneurs that I know. And that's that they don't have any choice but to succeed because of the family and everything that they've got on the line. And you had a lot on the line, didn't you?
We had everything on the line. My parents could not understand why I wanted to move from Glendale, Arizona, where I was born, to go to Los Angeles to make hamburgers. They just couldn't get that concept. I tried to explain to them, franchising is different. McDonald's is huge. And my dad told me one day, son, stay. We'll buy the corner lot two blocks from here and we'll build a hamburger joint. And I said, Dad, thank you, but that's not what this is about.
Yeah. Yeah. Did they live long enough to see your success and understand what it was all about?
Yes, they did. My dad was a little upset that we left. Mom understood. Mom and Dad did come over to see us a couple of times during the construction of our restaurant. Believing in family, I took some pictures of my family, past family, and we incorporated that in the decor package of our business, just to let our parents know that that they were important in our lives, which they were. And both my parents and Pat's parents were able to be there for the grand opening of our first restaurant.
Outstanding.
Jeff, I remember when, during that time frame, I got the biggest suite that the Bonaventure Hotel downtown had, and it had two bedrooms, and we put my parents in one bedroom and her parents in the other bedroom. Pat and I slept on the couch. And, you know, but that was our thank you to them for giving us the roots to be able to be where we were at that point, and we were broke.
That's outstanding, John. So you built those restaurants up, you had success with them, and along comes McDonald's, and they say, John, we've got this opportunity in Oklahoma City, from Los Angeles to Oklahoma City, a meat processing plant, and they wanted you to take a look at it and see if you wanted to purchase it and become to kind of change hats in the McDonald's system, I would say. So what were your key decision points when McDonald's offered you this opportunity?
There was a lot involved with that. We had been operators for 12 years at that point. And actually, McDonald's asked me to head up a committee to find someone from the Latino community to buy this business. It didn't work out that we would send their way just weren't able to climb over the hill in order to get there. A couple of times it wasn't their fault, it was other people's faults. But long story short, McDonald's came to me and said, John, we would like for you to consider buying Normac Foods in Oklahoma City and become a supplier. And I looked at them and I says, I almost laughed. I said, you gotta be crazy. I have four stores, two are paid for. I'm playing golf four times a week. My wife has her dream home. Our kids are in college. And now I really don't think I wanna look at this. And so 3 weeks later, I met with them in Florida for a meeting, and they asked if they could speak to me again. They did, and they opened up the books. And I got caught. When you're an entrepreneur, you look for opportunities. When you're an entrepreneur, you had to be prepared for what life brings you. And in the back of my head, I was prepared, but I also knew that it would bring obstacles to my life. And we had formed a group called the McDonald's Hispanic Owner Operators that became actually a national group. And the key focus of that group was to bring in more Latinos into the McDonald's system, to become successful entrepreneurs and show our community that it can be done. And we were successful in that. And then we went and said, now that we were successful in the franchise group, we don't have any Latinos in the supply chain. And that's when all this process began. And so, you know, when it was offered to me, I had to remember that I was one of those guys that kept hounding McDonald's to let's get some good Latinos into the supply chain. I thanked them for it. I said I would consider it. And it took me about a year and a half to be able to put the package together, to negotiate with the folks in Oklahoma City, to sell my restaurants back in Los Angeles. But the hardest thing was convincing my family, why are we going to leave Los Angeles?
Mm-hmm.
My daughters had their honeys. My oldest daughter was married. My second daughter was getting ready to be married. Our third daughter had her boyfriend, who she's married with now. Our two sons were at USC. Dad, why are we moving to Oklahoma? And I said, I will let you know. I will definitely let you guys know, and I'll bring it all together when this happens. It did. We had a family meeting, and we discussed it. And Pat had to leave her home. She had to leave her friends. She was very pleased to be there. We had many friends in the franchise group at McDonald's that we probably wouldn't be seeing very much. So she told me this. She says, I know you're going. I know you. And you'll never forgive yourself for not doing this. And I wouldn't forgive myself for not helping you. So just don't forget that. It's not a good man gets ahead because they have a good wife behind him. Just don't forget that your wife is besides you.
Wow.
And I never forgot
that's
that.
That's beautiful. Yeah. And she still is today. I've got the opportunity to experience that with the two of you. You guys are a great team. So what year was that you purchased Normac and it became Lopez Foods?
I started negotiating in 1990. In 91, the deal
was made.
Cut, yes. Huh? And I moved. I actually moved here December of 1990.
And Lopez Foods has had tremendous success through the years under your leadership. And now, under the leadership of the management team that you actually built, including your two sons, JP and Dave, it was actually named McDonald's Supplier of the Year. I believe it was 2016.
That is correct.
That's a tremendous honor. Just in the McDonald's system, that is a huge honor. What were and remain today some of the keys to your success with Lopez Foods over the years?
Well, first of all, let me say that the McDonald's Supplier of the Year is a worldwide award.
Wow.
And it's very difficult to be there. You have to maintain what we have as a company. And, you know, QS&B, quality service, cleanliness, value to the customer has always been important. But I think the key factors in what got us to this point was, first of all, you surround yourself with good people. You surround yourself with the people that you need to provide advice, to help lead, help you lead and help and be on your train on the way to success. And so I was able to put people around me that were very successful. The other thing is in people is that we don't have employees at Lopez Foods. We have associates. We are all associated, and we have always taught them what it is to be like to be in the McDonald's system. The other thing is really listening. You listen to all of your associates. You listen to your leaders within your own community. But bigger than that, you listen to your customer. And McDonald's is our customer, and we would listen to them as to what they were expecting from us. And once we had all that in play, we were able to help train a lot of our associates to get on our train and move ahead. And we did that. So good people, a lot of knowledge of your customers, and treating your employees in a decent way, or associates in a different way.
I know the first time we met years ago, I asked you what was one of your keys to success, and the answer was very similar. And you talked about building the right team, getting the right people in the right job, and having the right people on the team. And you've obviously done a great job of that, as reflected in the success that Lopez Foods has had, and also the Sueños Hotel Group. So what are the biggest challenges you've had to overcome over the years in your business ventures?
How to leverage funds. I started out with no capital, just very little capital, and found ways to, as a franchisee, to leverage what I knew, what I had, and move ahead. I'll give you, for instance, I like to be creative. I'm a dreamer at times. At the time that it came for me to finance our first McDonald's franchise, prime rates were at 18%.
Wow.
And it was difficult when I kept looking at what my payments were going to be, and I said, wow. And being in the hole at that time didn't help. So I got creative, and I decided to draw back on my experiences with the government, with the Small Business Administration. And at that time, they still had a direct loan program. a program that I was familiar with in my earlier stages with the National Council de la Raza. But I said, I'm going to explore that. So I did. Got on a plane, flew to D.C., picked up with some of my friends that I had before. And I explained to them what I wanted to do. And they listened to me. They put me in contact with the right people in Los Angeles, the right people in San Francisco. And I was able to secure a direct SBA loan, believe it or not, at the rate of 4 7/8%.
Wow.
And so I went to McDonald's and I said, McDonald's, you know, prime rate is 18%. Here's my rate. Subtract the difference. And please accept that as the capital that I have to get into business. And they listened and they did it. And it allowed me to become an investor of my franchise in a way that it was going to be financially feasible for our family.
John, your story reminds me of something another of our very successful entrepreneur clients told me once. He said, there's always a way. You just have to find it. And those that do succeed, and it's not everybody. 70% of people, the statistics say, in the United States that try and start a business don't succeed. They fail. 30% or less make it. And those are the ones that somehow find a way. And you clearly did that. That's a great story. Thank you for sharing that.
One of the biggest stories that I tell people is, don't forget to ask. You know, if you're trying to sell something, if you're trying to get something across, ask and you shall receive. It's going to be a yes or a no.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do it right, it's going to be a yes. So I agree with your comments.
Okay. That's great insight, too. And the no's don't hurt that badly. And you'll never get yes if you don't ask, right?
That is correct.
So, John, your three daughters and their husbands are all McDonald's operators, Christy and Rick Thorley, Karen and Chalmer McWilliams, and Christy and Brad Allen. Your two sons, JP and Dave, who I mentioned earlier, shareholders in Lopez Foods and are on the leadership team. And you now have grandchildren coming into the business. That's got to make you really proud. How did this become such a family affair?
So first of all, it's Kathy and Rick Thorley.
Didn't I say Kathy?
You said Christy.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Let's correct that.
I know Kathy. I apologize.
When it came down for me to make that change from a franchisee to becoming a supplier, I had been approved. I was in the process of selling my stores. My wife was on board. And one of the things that Pat and I always wanted to do, something my parents did for us, we wanted to expose our children to many, many things, to having wealth, to having a nicer home, having friends galore, being able to travel, but most of all, expose them to hard work. And we had meetings, the family. Kathy and Rick were already McDonald owner operators. Their first store was in Sacramento, mm-hmm. California. Christy and Karen were in the process of getting married. JP and Dave were still in college. They were young. So I had many discussions with McDonald's that I shared with my family. McDonald's had the second generation McDonald's owner operator group. And they were looking for second generation of McDonald's franchisees to become McDonald's franchisees. And I was able to at least get a handshake from the McDonald's leadership group to make sure that our children had that opportunity. And then I also asked them to indirectly help me bring them out to the Midwest, because I knew that to have a happy wife, you had to have the kids around you and the grandkids around you. And we had two grandkids at that time. So things started happening for us. But, you know, when we bought Normac Foods, John and Dave in college went with me to Chicago. And one of the things that I was looking for, Pat was looking for, a way to perpetuate our business. And I remember meeting with my mentor in McDonald's, a gentleman by the name of Jerry Newman. And he talked to Pat and I and John and Dave. And then he excused Pat and I. And he says, I just want to have a conversation with the boys. And I wish I could have been the fly on the wall, but I could almost imagine what was going on. Jerry explained to them the supplier system, one of the problems in the supply chain, and perpetuation means a lot, and not turning over your business as much, keeping it in the family, and that Du Bois would have an opportunity to do that. He says, trust your dad that he will put together a program after you graduate from college to move ahead and find out if you really want to be a supplier. And if you do, you will be welcome with open arms. So the good thing is that Kathy and Rick have like 22 stores now. Christy and Brad have 7. Karen and Chalmer have 9 or 10, I forget. And John and Dave are in the leadership team. And Jeff, thanks to you and a lot of planning that we did, we were able to find ways to form vehicles while the boys were going through their training program, learning what it was all about in getting ahead and learning the business from 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, if needed. And they did that. And eventually they were able to become owners and become the shareholders of Lopez Foods and learn the business. Quite frankly, they know more about the business day-to-day operation than I do.
That's John. And what I've observed over the years, and thank you for the compliment, very much appreciated, but what I've observed over the years is you didn't just hand your children the next generation things. You provided them with opportunities. And your kids learned from you and Pat, and they took advantage of those opportunities, and they've leveraged those opportunities, and they've had success in their own right as a result.
You know, I mentioned earlier that our goal was to expose our children, and Pat and I were blessed to have the funds in order to help provide seed capital for the kids to get started. But it wasn't given to them with a silver spoon either. There were conditions in those. And they did it. But basically, Jeff, what it really comes down to is family comes first. And we started planning that from actually the times that even before we were married, we knew we were going to have children. We knew that family had to come first. And it still does.
It still does. And I get to see that very regularly. John, what advice, other advice, might you have for someone who wants to pass their business on to their future generations or provide similar opportunities to future generations?
First of all, you need to be a successful entrepreneur. You need to know your business. You need to be involved in your business, because if you're involved in your business, you know your business, you can pass on that knowledge to your children. Not everybody is going to be an entrepreneur. There is no question. We are very blessed that all 5 of our children have that entrepreneurial spirit and are involved, but it requires a lot of planning. You just don't do it overnight. And again, thank you for helping me do a lot of that planning. And as a result of that, everybody is headed in the right direction. And Jeff, they can take us to dinner now.
Although I still know that you pick up the tab regularly. What if one of your children hadn't been an entrepreneur? I know that's a what if question, but because all of yours are clearly and are having success, but how do you think you might have handled that?
If one more time,
if one of your children was not an entrepreneur, if they said, "You know, I want to do something else."
Yeah. You know, I don't know what I would have done, quite frankly, but we also have a third generation G3, and we also have 2 of our grandchildren become McDonald's operators. 2 years ago, I held a meeting with all of our G3s, all of our Generation 3, all of our grandkids. I wanted them to know who Pat and I were. And I wanted Pat to tell the kids who she was growing up until the time we met. And then I want me to tell them all about that. And it became very clear in our Generation 3 that not everybody was going to be entrepreneurial. And so we expounded on that. We expressed our desire to be helpful regardless in what way. But the one thing that Pat and I are doing is that we are providing, again, seed capital for all of our grandkids, regardless of what they do. And those funds are going to become funds that are used to build a home, so they can have a home, a good start in whatever direction they go, continue their education if that is needed, and in some cases it's going to be, and then the remainder to be used to get into some kind of a business venture if that's what they choose. But if they don't choose to do that, those funds are to be reserved for their children, so their children can get a start in life. And we have today two nurses in the family. We have a grandchild working at Disney, another one going to Oklahoma State, another one going to Arkansas. God knows what's going to happen to us, because I don't. But we certainly are going to be there to support. And no strings attached. Pat and I learned a long time ago, when you put strings attached to gifts that you give, it comes back to hound you. And we don't have any strings at all, except conditions. And so far, it's working very nice.
And I can attest to that. The Lopez family is a very special family. And all the way down to the G3s, I think they all agree that family first is really important. John, is there any other advice you would have for somebody building a business? You've shared a lot of great insight. Has anything else come to mind?
Yeah, prepare yourself. It isn't easy to become successful as a business person. And first of all, you've got to convince yourself that you're going to be putting a lot of time, and you're going to have to get your hands dirty. You're going to have to learn how to do just about everything at your business. And then surround yourself with good people, of course, but don't be afraid to seek advice. I've been blessed with having good bankers advise me. I've been blessed to be able to have the Capital Chartroom folks to advise us and help us on this journey. And also, I've got very good friends at outside of McDonald's that also have been there, and they have given us advice. So seek advice, listen, and plan. And if you plan properly, we have a comment in Spanish. It's called "Si se puede." That means yes, you can.
Yeah, outstanding. Yes, you can, and yes, you have. So you've given back a lot over the years, John. You've given a lot of your time. You've given a lot of your talent. You've given a lot of your money to various individuals and organizations, but particularly to the Latino community, and also Ronald McDonald Charities, I know, is near and dear to your heart. You want to tell us a little bit about that and why it's been important to you to give back?
Jeff, when my dad was a young businessman, I watched him and mom build their business. I also watched them get involved in the community, and all of the funds that they received did not go in their pocket for themselves. Most of it did, of course, but a good majority went to help build the community in the area that we lived in. So as I continue to grow, and with my experience with the National Council of La Raza, I really found out who I was. I really was my dad all over again. I couldn't believe that. And I realized that you know, he did a lot for the community, and I wanted to do that. So I'm a product of the Latino community and very proud of it. We're hard workers, and we know how to get it done. So here we are, and I believe that I still do that we have to be involved in the community. I've been involved even before we became entrepreneurs. I've been a donor to the National Council of La Raza for an endowment fund, which they now own their own building in Washington, D.C., and I'm very proud of that. I was on many, many boards of community action programs when time permitted. And then when we got so involved with McDonald's, we had to turn our giving and our involvement into something within the system. And that happens to be the Ronald McDonald House. Pat and I in Los Angeles were there and on their board of directors for the Ronald House. And we helped build two Ronald Houses in the California area, L.A. in Riverside at that time. So when we moved here, I was asked to be on the board of directors of the Rana House again, and I did that. I can happily say that we have donated not only funds, but also time and effort. For instance, Kathy, our oldest daughter, is on the board of directors of the Rana House in Oklahoma City. So is John Patrick Lopez. The last 2 years for the Ronald Gala, Red Shoe Gala here in OKC, 2 years ago, John and Dave were the co-chairs, and they raised a lot of money, which happens to be operational money to help kids in need. This last year, JP stepped down from that role and took over the capital campaign mm-hmm. funding program. And we're going to build a new house here in Oklahoma
That's
City.
That's outstanding.
And you know there's going to be a Lopez wing somewhere.
Absolutely.
And Dave Lopez was the co-chairman of the Red Shoe Gala this year that just yep. concluded. And so it isn't just me, but it's continuing with the family. Lopez Foods continues to be involved with a local community development group here in Oklahoma City that I used to be involved with quite a lot. And now that I am retired, I can tell you that our hearts are with all the charities, but Ronald McDonald's House has become our main charity.
Outstanding. And I will be shocked if there's not a Lopez wing on that new house. Well, John, one last question. You know, what's motivated you all these years to achieve such outstanding success? You and I both know that a lot of people look at business owners and it looks easy from the outside, but it's not. There's a lot of blood, sweat, and tears that are shed building a business. And there's got to be something motivating. What is bigger than business for John C. Lopez?
It's, Jeff, that's a good question. It started out with my parents being entrepreneurs in a small grocery store. Their goal was to educate their children so they could improve and they could become, quote, in their eyes, better than other children in the community and get involved in the community. I never forgot that. And yes, you know entrepreneurs and I do too. And you know the fire that lights us to get things done. We've proven that with our franchises and Lopez Foods and our hotel business now. But basically it comes down to family first. Those are the values that we'll never get rid of. Those are the values that we really care about. We're just blessed that we are able and will continue to help our family in whatever we can do. We're in the process now of planning our second legacy meeting with our G3, and I'm putting together an agenda, and basically it's going to be about preservation of wealth. You work hard to put it together. You pass it on to your children that I know will pass it on to their children. Mm-hmm. But there's going to be a little piece of the pie left someday for our great-grandkids. And we want to expose them as to how they can preserve that and how they continue to get ahead, regardless of what they do. If it's a McDonald's franchisee or something else, some other business, or they want to become nurses. I told one of my grandsons that he probably will end up being president of Oklahoma State University. He's the leader, proven. But bigger than that, you know, it's family first. We are very proud of our children. We're very proud of what they have done to raise their children and very proud of how our grandkids are raising their children. We're proud of that. We look back on that, and it really does come back putting your family first, regardless of what you do.
And John, I can, again, personally attest to the fact that you live and breathe that family first value. And from my vantage point, you've put almost as much time and effort into making sure your family is successful and has strong core values. You've mentioned hard work. You've mentioned giving back. You've mentioned getting educated. You've mentioned a lot of different things that you've worked hard to convey those values to your family, and as a result of it, the Lopez family is something to behold. The love they share, the love you share, the closeness, and how you guys work together, and that's a great testament to you and Pat, And it's also a great testament to Kathy and Rick and Taryn and Schalmer and Christy and Brad and continuing that and your G3s and wanting to listen and understand and continue that legacy. And so, John, I really appreciate your time today. The insights you shared have been outstanding. I think they'll be very helpful. It's an honor to be able to have this interview with you and to have you share with us. And our listeners, I know, will appreciate everything you shared.
Jeff, thank you very much. I really appreciate that. And I have shared a lot with you. And if I can be of any assistance in the future in sharing, I would be more than happy to.
Outstanding. Thank you, John.
Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in to Bigger Than Business. To hear our latest episodes, be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or your favorite podcast provider. Do you know a successful business owner who you believe is achieving their purpose in life and want to recommend them for Jeff to interview? Please visit our website at thecapitalchartroom.com and let us know. And remember, in life, always create a vision for your success that is bigger than business.